Well, how's it going, everyone? King Was Court, episode 11 is inbound. But before we get into it, I just want to throw a disclaimer at you here. We had a fantastic episode of this show. And during my recording, my internet screwed up. Not once, but twice. So I had to do a bit of a hatchet job on the edit. And I'm not an editor. I'm no good at editing, but I did my best. I hope it sounds smooth and seamless for you people. If not, let me know. And let's, you know, I want to try and improve everything for you. So it's my first attempt at editing together some fuck ups, not on my end. So let me know how you feel about it, okay? And enjoy the show. Thank you.
And welcome back to King Was Court, episode 11, Inbound. And we have a very special guest today. I'm very proud to have her on the show. You probably saw just before we came on there, I had one of her tracks, fantastic track called Demon by her band Elevation Falls. Hazel, Jade, Rogers, welcome to the show.
How are you?
Woo! How are you? Great to see you. Great to finally have you on the show.
Yes, it's been a long time coming.
Yes. I back and forth all the time. It's like, oh, we have to do this, we have to do that, you know. But I'm delighted you're finally taking the time out. I appreciate it. I really do, you know. So
I'm very happy that we're finally here at the stage where we could get into the video and get into the talks.
Absolutely. So how are you keeping, first and foremost? How's the form?
The form is interesting. I've obviously been asked this question because it's such a strange time for absolutely everybody. I think something that I always go back to is over the last year, or what are we going into now? We are in a year now of lockdown. I think I really connected back to my roots, and I've really connected back to what I enjoy doing, what I love doing. Anyone who follows me online will know I love doing art, and I love designing clothes, and I love all this stuff. So I it was really nice to get back to that. And I think because of lockdown, I was actually able to do that as well as. So for me, it's really helped me. I obviously had my bad days, and I've gotten quite lucky that I have got good days out of it as well. So I would say it's been a roller coaster, but personally for me, I think it's one for the better. If I was to do a personal opinion.
I get you, because I'm like that as well, in a sense. I'm not exactly hating lockdown totally. Because I'm actually getting the focus on my podcast now. The only problem for me is no bands, you know. My own bands. I'm in several bands and I can't do anything with them. So
hard,
So I'm focusing on this now, which is something, and it's productive. That's the way I look at it.
Still get to meet people, you know.
Absolutely.
I think that's one thing. Obviously, I've been interacting with a load of other musicians from mostly England because of various developments in my career, and a lot of them are they're missing the social interaction that you get when you're at a gig. It's not just doing the gig itself. But like the people you meet so many different people from different walks of life and different musicians and different tastes of music, you know. And I actually really miss that. And before all of this happened, you didn't really value that as much, because you didn't think it was going to be taken away from you. So
And something as simple as, like you say, going to Fibbers.
Absolutely.
You know, we all dying for it now, and all the detractors will be flying into it now, I'd say, when it's back open, like, you know.
Yeah, everybody. Like, I was lucky enough to hear that in York, the place I'm moving to, there's a place called Fibbers.
No way.
So I actually can't escape Fibbers. It no matter where I go to, it's there.
I think if you're a Fibbers head, it follows you everywhere. There's one in Galway. You know, there's other worlders around the place, like, you know, it's gas, like.
Absolutely.
So tell me, Hazel, why did I say Hazel? I don't know why I said that.
Don't worry, people call me Hayes. People call me Hazel J.
I was going to call you Hey. I don't know what I was going to call you there.
Hey, you.
So talk to me about music. What got you into music? Who influences you? Who influences you now? All that kind of stuff.
Well, So I started music from an extremely young age. My parents were both into songwriting and producing, and they were writing their own songs and they were producing them. And my family had a recording studio in our household. I was brought up listening to the songs they were recording and producing. And at the age of 3, my dad started teaching me how to play drums, and he got me into a lot of like Queen and the Beatles. Like, he's a mad Beatle mania person. He got me into a lot of that kind of rock genre. Yeah. And then my mom was getting me into things like David Bowie and like Heart, and a lot of brilliant songwriters. So my dad was they're all brilliant songwriters. I think that was the main thing, is that my parents both liked musicians that were very good songwriters and very good at expressing emotions, but then also really good at writing songs that you just want to dance to or headbang, whatever you do. And I think the two of them influenced me a lot. Obviously, then when I got to around the age of five, my parents wanted me to learn an instrument properly by taking grades in it. So I learned piano. I did piano up until, I don't know what age, probably about 10, up to grade two. Then my mum started teaching me guitar. And I think my first song I ever wrote, I was about 11. And I just did it. I sat with my piano and I did it in my room and I came out with it and my parents were like, wait, you write? You know, they didn't go to me saying, you should try writing something. I literally sat there and I wrote this song. And I was 11, 12, and it was actually called You Try Being a Child.
Oh, brilliant.
You know, and that's what I mean. I always was this kind of strange kid. So I didn't have a lot of friends. Friends of my parents used to say, she speaks like an adult and she's six. You know, I seemed to be always a bit more adult than the age I was at the time. And I think that really is what made me able to write songs like You Try Being a Child. You know, I was 11 years old and I was like, it's so freaking difficult being a child. Now, I probably wouldn't have written that if I'd known what it was like to be an adult. I thought it was bad being a child, but being an adult is a lot worse.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a project now. Record you try being a child and then do another one, You Try Being an Adult.
Yeah, You Try Being an Adult. Definitely. I think especially with the time that's in it at the moment, we need that song.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that's the thing. It's that... I grew up in a family and it was just my mom and my dad and my grandmother. There's no one else in my family. And I think I had no brothers or sisters, nothing. I didn't have very many friends. My best friends were my parents and they were very musical. They were very artistic. And that obviously rubbed off on me because I used to spend more time in the art room and on the grand piano in my school than I would talking to people. And it was just one of those things. Music and art just were everything for me. And to this day, like, I don't think I could have gotten through the lockdown without either of them because they both I can just switch off and just be there. And I don't have to be happy or perfect or whatever you want to call it. I don't have to do any of that. I don't have to wear makeup. Like, this is the most makeup I've worn in lockdown.
Thank you.
No, I haven't done anything. I've been sitting like a potato, designing my clothes and painting and writing and doing songs in Logic Pro. I've just been doing all of this stuff because it's great. And again, no makeup, my hair wasn't done. My nails aren't done. I did my eyebrows for the first time the other day in months. It was fantastic. You know, like, you do miss, obviously, I know so many people who miss actually, like, particularly women, who miss getting done up and going out and all this stuff. And I do miss it too. But it's nice not to have to do that as well. Yeah. Because I think for both men and women in today's society, there's a lot of pressure to look a particular way all the time and present yourself a particular way. And I think it's nice that personally I and a couple of other people I've spoken to, that isn't important at the moment. It's not important. It's just not important.
It should never be important, actually, to be honest. I feel, anyway.
Well, like, there's no pressure. You know, there is always this natural kind of society pressure to look well and act like all that kind of stuff. And you don't need to do that in the lockdown because you're not going out and you're not being places. Like, obviously, being in a band, there's a particular image that you have to have and all this stuff. And I think the fact that there's no focus on that means you can focus on other things. And I have really enjoyed that.
Definitely.
But just as going back to where we were, the... growing up, I think it was just around me. Music was always around me. It was in my blood. It was something that I enjoyed from a very young age. And I continued to grow and write about it. As I said, I was about 11 when I wrote my first song. So it just went from there, you know?
Lovely. And did you always want to be in a band situation or?
See, like... that was the thing. So I started writing, as I said, around 11. I had a solo career from 11 up until 15. And during those years, I enjoyed being a solo artist, but I genuinely felt lonely. So I was listening to all of these bands like Guns N' Roses, and I was listening to Queen, and I was listening to Motley Crue. You know, I'm listening to all of these bands, and they're not on their own. You know, they've got each other, even though they may fight and hate each other and stop talking everything. They were groups of people who came together to make this one sound and put it out there. And I think when I was 15, I started really recognizing it. I was hanging out with a load of people in town. I was what at the time was called a banky. One of those that had one eye, and it was a time and a half. But I was meeting a lot of people at the time that were actually very talented musicians, and I decided, hey, let's try and put a band together and see what happens. And that was how Elevation Falls came along.
Brilliant. And the name, where's the name come from?
Yeah, I remember this actually. I was sitting on my kitchen table. I think I just turned 16 with a couple of the members at the time. And we were all sitting there writing down things. I think obviously we were all going through our emo phase, and there was, I think, one called Burning Cherub or something. You know, there was all of these types of things. And then we all kind of sat there, obviously being the age we all were, and thought the main thing about life is that it goes up and down.
Yeah.
It goes up and down. And like, obviously we're not going to call ourselves the Roller Coasters.
It's a good name.
It's a great name. So we literally all sat there. I think I can't remember who exactly wrote it down, but I remember it was put into this pile, and just all of us kind of loved Elevation Falls because, again, it's connected to the up down of life. And all of the songs that were ever written in that band were all about dealing with life and its struggles and its problems and personal experiences with depression and breakups and all of this stuff and losing a loved one. You know, it was all written into our songs. And I think that's why we said, right, we're calling this Elevation Falls, because it makes the most sense. It represents everything we're writing about, and that's life.
Absolutely. I love hearing origin stories of band names. I really do.
I love doing it. I love, that's a funny thing. I never actually get asked that question very often, of where the origin name Elevation Falls came from. So it was nice to actually say it for once.
Look, it's like... people always used to say to me, why is it Two Tales of Woe? And I was like, well, like when I was starting that off, I was in another band. I don't know if you ever heard of the band Chosen. It's from years ago now.
Years back. But yeah. I know you from Two Tales of Woe.
That's But I remember it's like, because I had initially planned on just doing two EPs with a side project, calling it Two Tales of Woe, or Two Tales of Sadness. Which was basically what it was going to be. And then situations happened with the other band and I got kicked out. And I was like, right, let's make 2001 permanent. So, and I haven't looked back since, you know.
It's a great name. I must say, there's very few names that kind of stick in my head. You know, something's called Obliterator or Akinator, you know, you know, all these names. And Two Tales of Woe always kind of stuck in my head because it meant something, you know. It had something that's not severely obvious, yet it has a meaning. And I personally always liked it. So
thank you. I remember when we got the first album out, and whatever way we got the font for the name, people used to think it was Two Tales of Mo, as in M-O-E. Two Tales of Mo. So as I was saying about the Two Tales of Moe, M-O-E.
I think it's like that's either a take on a Simpsons thing, you know, you roll with the Simpsons, you know. I do like Two Tales of Woe, though.
Thankfully it stuck.
It stick, good.
You know, so you have one album.
Anyway, look, there's been some technical problems there for the first time ever in King Was Court, and I must apologise sincerely.
I'm cursing the the court.
I know, yeah. The Dark Witch has...
Bad luck has mushed all over it now.
Yeah.
So apologies to you, Hazel, and anyone listening or watching, whatever. This is going to be some shit show.
Bit of editing.
Bit of magic. Let's get back to what I was trying to say to you, and that was about your albums.
Yeah. So
take me back to the albums there.
So I did two albums with Elevation Falls. The first one was Origins, and the second one was What Will Be. So that What Will Be was the newest one. And I think Origins was kind of an interesting one. It was kind of made up of loads of songs that were over a period of like 3 years, ones that had already been released and stuff, and were on EPs and stuff. We just decided we're going to shove them all onto one album and release it. And then the second one, there was a lot more put into that. We literally went into a studio. We were in it for about 8 months. I think we went in with maybe seven or eight of the songs written, and the rest were written in there.
All right.
Absolutely prepared. I think we had seven odd of them written, and then I think there's 12 on the album. The rest we wrote in there and wrote along the way. And yeah, it was really cool being in the setting of being able to sit down and spend the time on an album, saying this is going to be an album, these are the songs for the album, and that's what we're writing. And it was such an amazing experience, I have to say, doing that album. Like, What Will Be was something I was extremely proud of. Naturally, I would have spent another year on the thing if I could have, but I literally going through the process of writing the songs, rehearsing the songs, going into the studio, changing loads of different bits, finding out the amps and the setups that the lads wanted to use on the guitar sound, bringing in other musicians. Like we had like three violinists, we had three trumpet players, we had a harmonica player. You know, we brought in loads of guest players, and obviously we had Conor McGurran. He played on our song Stand Down, and that was such a gift to actually have, because Connor taught me some guitar,
right?
He also taught Chris some guitar as well, so we thought it's fair to get the man that actually shown us how to do it on the actual track. So
he's unreal, isn't he? He's unreal.
You know, you sit there and you kind of just melt while watching him, you know.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Everybody, we all just sit there and kind of just start slowly, our face dropping. And we're just left there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you were lucky to get him on the album, actually. That was very cool to get, like.
Yeah, well, he's been a good supporter and a good friend of the band over the years. He filled in for us a couple of times at gigs overseas when another member of ours couldn't make it. You know, he's been severely supportive. As I said, he's also taught. So one of the songs that was written on the album was a song called Zombie.
Right.
It's kind of funny. I played the acoustic on that song. And cool. The intro is literally just acoustic. The riff is one that Connor taught me.
No way.
He taught me how to play the rhythm, and then I put it in a particular place on the guitar, and then I came up with the riff for the song, and that became the song. So
brilliant.
You know, he influenced one of the songs. He played on one of the songs. He taught me and Chris how to get a bit better at guitar. So he has every right to be on that album.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So we were very thankful. It was a really nice treat, in particular, to have Connor.
Deadly. Yeah, it's always nice if you can get someone who you like and respect onto your album, like, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And it was obviously, he's got his new project, Enigma Division, you know, and we've all been watching that, seeing the bits and bobs coming out all the time. And it's really great to see a musician who just does what he wants to do.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. And I mean, there's enough other fantastic Irish musicians trying to, I suppose, pave the way for us all across the pond, and
absolutely,
you know, and I think it's brilliant. You need to do it. You really do, don't you?
Yeah. Well, you've got to. I always say, don't try to be different. Just do what you naturally feel. You know, I think that would be something I've noticed a lot, especially in the younger kind of, you know, like, where I started, 15, 16 year olds kind of feeling like they have to be overly different, you know, to stand out. And I'm thinking, it's not about being overly different. It's about people can tell when you're faking. Let's just say that. Yeah. People know when you're not being true to yourself and when you're not playing something that you want to play. You know, it makes a big difference if you want to play what you're playing, you know. So I always say, you know, it's not about being different, it's about being yourself. And that will get you a lot further than trying to be different. So I think that's what I liked about Connor. I think I like about a lot of musicians, as you as well. You just do what you want. And we've had conversations where you're like, yeah, but I like doing this type of music as well. You know, I don't stick one type. I'll sit there and I'll do Irish trad. And then, you know, and that's what I mean. You do what you want. You know? I always said Elevation Falls, the kind of inspiration with it a little bit was a bit like Queen sometimes, because people always said that one song would be very heavy rock, the other one would be bluesy, the other one would be pop, the other one would be something else, you know. And that was something that I loved doing in Elevation Falls, because all of us had such influences. Like, I listened to absolutely everything, and I that comes out in the music. Because I'm not one that likes to sit there and say, right, I have to be a hard rock band, that's it. I can only write hard rock songs. You know, I'm gonna write what I feel. And I think that, again, is what I go back to, is that's why I would admire people like yourself and Connor, because you do what you want to do in the moment, you know?
Absolutely. And I mean, there you go, like-minded people always, you know, gravitate towards each other, you know? I find, you know? So it's, it's good to know that, you know? So you've got your two albums with Elevation Falls, and Elevation Falls kind of goes by the wayside for now.
No, I think that was a tough decision. It was a decision that it wasn't made in any disagreement or anger or problems. There was absolutely no issues in Elevation Falls. We were all fine, and obviously lockdown came, all this stuff happened. And I think the main thing is with the band Elevation Falls is, particularly me and Chris, we always wanted this to be our career. It was always going to be our career. Chris is the guitarist, as you know. The two of us, this is our everything, you know. We want this to be everything. So we will lose jobs over this, you know. We get fired because we don't turn up for work because we've been out all night doing work and the band and doing gigs and meeting new people, blah blah. I have to take 5 days off because I'm playing such and such, you know. And that was the thing, is that the other lads, and they'll happily say this to anyone who asks, is that they have jobs, you know, they have families, they have other commitments that they can't turned down, you know. And I think it was just, if there was a gig that came up and let's say one of them wasn't available to do it, it would be because they have work, you know. It was hard, you know. It was hard. We were obviously, when Elevation Falls was started, we were all like 15 and 16. The oldest person in the band was Gabriel, and he was 22 at the time, you know, and he's now 30 odd, you know. That's what I think. It's like, we all started at an age where the most difficult thing we had going for us was school. You know, school was it, you know. None of us had jobs, none of us had any responsibility. We're all kids, and there was nothing to get in the way. It was literally just, yeah, let's stay up on a bender for four nights. I've got school today, I don't care, you know. It was, but I think the problem is I miss all of that. I miss the no responsibility. I miss all that. But
yeah,
people are still like that. It's just you have to find the right people for that. And I love the boys that are in the band still, that we're in Elevation Falls. I still talk to them all the time. We still hang out. They're coming to visit me and Chris in England. You know, there is nothing wrong there. It's just there's a certain level of commitment you have to have if you want to move from one level to the next. Me and Chris just knew that the lads, it was unfair to the lads to keep having to put pressure on them to do these gigs.
They have
other stuff, and that's fine. And as I said, me and Chris have now moved on to our new project. So
Do you want to tell us the name of the new project?
So the new band is called Tomorrow Is Lost.
Awesome.
They are based over in the north of England. So naturally I am moving from Ireland to England, and so is Chris. We're both going That was a very strange turn of events. What ended up happening was we knew this band already. We had played the circuit with them a couple of times, and we'd met them whilst we were in England once or twice. And me and Chris were feeling like, right, we need to do something, we need to move forwards and do something new. And they put up a post saying they were looking for a new singer and guitarist. Now we were like, what the hell, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So we contact their manager, Dave, and we say to them that me and Chris are both interested in the position. We both do a few tracks, record a couple of their tracks, send them over. They really like it. And then they asked us to come over and do an audition for them. Now, I must say, it is one of the most... this shows how unlucky I am. You know how we're having trouble with the internet? Okay, this is how, this is how unlucky I am. So we... Obviously, this was not in the lockdown. It was like in that weird spot in around that weird spot that we had in December. And I got on a flight with Chris to England to do this audition. We were staying there for like 3 days. The moment I hit the tarmac, my throat started feeling a bit not great.
So oh no.
We drive to York. We get there at about 2 a.m. We fall asleep, and I'm still not feeling the best. I wake up the next day as we're about to go to this audition with this new band, My Possible Future. And I mean, I was delirious. I was delirious. I wasn't sure if I was awake or asleep.
Oh.
I was in severe pain. Like, I mean, severe pain. And so Chris walks in and he's like, you're getting up, blah, blah. And he sees me and he's like, she's not getting up. Like, he's never seen me this sick before. And I've known Chris since he was 15 years old, you know.
Yeah.
He's never seen me this sick before. And I was like, I could do it. It was like the devil trying to speak through me. It was horrendous. Anyway, in the end, I couldn't go to the audition that day. I was way too sick. Chris went and he did his audition. He met all the guys. He said, they're all lovely, blah, 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 fantastic. And I was pumping myself with, like, it sounds like such a rock and roll lifestyle. I was pumping myself with drugs throughout the entire day,
trying
to help myself. It was absolutely, I was on the ibuprofen and everything. I was gone. So the next day I wake up and I'm like, right, I have to go. This is my last day I can do an audition with these lads to show that I want to do this and I'm in this. I slap on makeup. I mean, I felt like my bones were inside out, but I got into my clothes, got in the car, drove to the audition place with Chris, and I turned up and I they just said, you look so ill. Like, I was sweating. I was really unwell. Anyway, for some reason, I was able to sing the song. I did the audition. They were all like, how the fuck do you sound like this when you are so ill? And I was like, I don't know. At the end of the audition, we had to ring an ambulance.
Oh my god!
Because my air pipe was closing. I was having trouble breathing.
Oh shit!
They wouldn't give us an ambulance because we weren't from England. We were coming over. It was something. I wasn't involved in the conversation. I just know a call was made, and I was a bit delirious. Anyway, got brought to York Hospital and I had severe tonsillitis. My airways were closing because they were so swollen.
Jesus. I had
polyps all on the back of my throat that were full of pus. It was such a beautiful. And what ended up, my temperature was like 39 degrees or something, whatever it is. And I couldn't get the flight home the next day because of the COVID thing. You can't get on a flight with temperature during the whole COVID pandemic. So
I
ended up having to stay in York for a week. And that wasn't the end of it. My manager who went over, who obviously is Belinda, my mum, ended up having heart failure. Whilst we were there.
Oh my God.
And so my dad had to come over in the car a week later, collect us and bring us back over on the ferry because we couldn't handle flying because both me and her were so ill, you know.
Jesus.
And to add, the ferry was like we'd been hit by a gale force wind, you know. It was just like, I know, just all the sighs, but this is what I mean. It was just one thing after another. But me and Chris got the gig. Somehow we got the gig, and it was like through hell to get it, but we got there. And that's a story I'll always tell now, that the way I got into Tomorrow Is Lost is by like absolutely dying, you know.
But there's probably, I mean, dedication.
That was the main thing they picked up from there. Like, you are bloody dedicated if you're doing this to the point that you have to go to hospital because you've sang too much and your throat's closing up. And I was like, yeah.
Well, how could they not say yes?
That was really bad if they didn't say yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, past all of that, Tomorrow Is Lost is a great band. As I said, they went through the misfortune of losing their singer and their guitarist. For the same reason me and Chris have moved on from Elevation Falls, is that they are seeing it more as a hobby, and they don't have the time to like not be in their jobs and stuff like that. So it was the same reason, and which is a very fair reason. But it was just kind of like a spur of the moment, lucky we're there kind of thing, you know. It wasn't planned or anything. It was just like, oh, okay.
sounds like a perfect fit, actually, when you consider the way you're saying it. Like,
it really was. Like, Tomorrow's Lost have a great backing. They're signed to a label. They I think it's a 2-album deal they have with them. They have a number of festivals lined up. I think we're playing Download. We're doing we're meant to be playing Download. If it's not this year, it's next year. But we're on a Download.
Awesome. A lineup.
We're on a Download lineup somewhere. in some year, somewhere. We have Rockin' by the River. You know, there's another. There's so many things. I just get messages off our manager Dave saying, this is being added to the calendar. This is being added. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. I'll be there.
Sadly.
So, I that's the thing. It's they have a really good support group around them. They have a fantastic manager. And they're all great guys themselves. And they've a label that believes in them. And they've an amazing fan support group, which is what they call the Shadow Gang. That's what they call them. And they're all extremely friendly, extremely nice. And I was so grateful how welcoming they were to me and Chris, you know. Awesome. The biggest fear on earth was me singing for the first time live one of the songs by Tomorrow Is Lost for the world to see. And people were very friendly. Naturally, I was worried. I was thinking, I'm a brand new singer. I've never been in this position where I'm coming into an already established band.
Yeah.
The new singer, because obviously I've been in Elevation Falls since I was 15. I created that band. You know, I've never been in a band where I'm filling somebody else's shoes. And I was very thankful to the Shadow Gang and obviously the boys in Tomorrow's Lost for being as welcoming as they have been. And Chris is just as excited to show off, is what I would say. He's getting ready. He's got stuff in the pipeline that none of us are allowed to talk about yet.
Brilliant. That's great. Yeah,
that's the band.
So, well, I mean, to be honest with you, if anyone was going to be able to do it, you'll be able to do it. You know, you've got the skills and you've got the determination that you always had. So absolutely.
I think the way I'd put it is I've been through enough to appreciate what I have.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's the way I would put it. And I think that would be another thing that the lockdown has given me is appreciation for what I have. You know, we all go through life being given things and stuff been taken away, but we've literally had our freedom taken away from us. I think that's why something like being in a band and being around your friends and being around other musicians is something I'll always appreciate now, you know?
Like, I can't wait to get back into it. I really can't. this has probably been said to you before, but one of my favorite female vocalists is Anne Wilson.
Oh, absolutely.
Would she be a big influence on you?
Oh, yes. My God. Anne Wilson. Like, if you can't just tell by the kind of style of me anyway, the dark eyes and the spiky 80s hair. Yeah. Absolutely. I had an ex who used to say to me, Hazel, every time I see you, you look more and more like Anne Wilson. You know, obviously I've just gone blonde, but when I had the black hair and stuff, you know, and I wear my faux fur coats and all this stuff, and it's just pure Anne Wilson. So she will be a huge influence both physically and on a singing level and performance.
What a woman.
Absolutely. She's just amazing. Absolutely fantastic. One of my favorite songs I ever covered in Elevation Falls was Alone by Heart. So
I love it.
I absolutely adore. I adore that woman. Like watching her doing Stairway to Heaven. You know.
Oh God, that was amazing.
With Nancy, you know, it's just
no wonder the lads nearly. No wonder the lads shed a tear. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. Like I. How can you not? You know, and I think that now that's one thing I will hold against the drummer of Tomorrow's Lost.
Right.
I messaged him and I said, one of my biggest influences, Ann Wilson, something in that. And he was like, who's that? And then I said to him, Van Hart. And he was like, who?
Oh, my God.
And he was like, I have to go and search Hart on YouTube. And I nearly ripped him a new one. You know, it was just, help me, God. But he now knows.
Sure he does.
Yeah, he does. Like, Christ, I was like, no, you can't be doing this to me. But, like, obviously, Ann Wilson would be a big influence for me, one of the biggest. I think then I have, obviously, Lizzie Hale, Taylor Momsen, then kind of off-rock for, like, female vocalists. I have, like, Amy Winehouse. Pink is who influenced me to start songwriting. I used to listen to the I'm Not Dead album when I was 11, and that's what made me want to write because her song is just absolutely connected to me on another level. I think I've got two tattoos of lyrics of hers tattooed on me somewhere.
Oh.
Like Pink was a massive influence on me when I was younger. I think like they would be the main kind of female vocalists that have really like taken to me that I've really been into. But then with male vocalists in general, it's brilliant state like frontmen. You know, like I mentioned, like you got Axl Rose, you got Freddie Mercury, you've got all these like Miles Kennedy is an absolute amazing singer with Alter Bridge and with Slash. You know, and great. And like, it's not a case of strutting around the stage and holding a mic up in a particular position. No. It's not that. It's just a presence. You know, and these are people who have it. And I sit there, I have my movies that I kind of watch on repeat. And like, I have the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, obviously. And then one I watch quite frequently at the moment is The Dirt, you know, the Motley
Crue. Oh, yeah.
And I freaking love it. The guys who play them are
fantastic. They're brilliant.
They're absolutely fantastic. So Vince Neil. Like, you know, it's just these people who have this presence. I said Ann Wilson has it, Lizzie Hale has it, you know. They don't have to jump around a stage, or they can jump around the stage. They can stand there and they can control a crowd amazingly.
Yeah.
Like, one of the biggest things on earth for me is when I saw Freddie Mercury do the hey.
Yeah, I love it.
Just watching that, the control. And at the end, he says, like, fuck off or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's brilliant. But that's the power of music, isn't it? It's the power of music. It really is.
It's the power of music. It's the power of a personality. You know, music is nothing without a personality. And that's I think it's absolutely fantastic. And that's what I mean. I have so many, like, I love Billie Eilish as a writer as well. You know, like, it's fantastic. You know, she would be somebody I love to bits. Like, it's just, I don't really stick in one genre. I will appreciate a writer for being a writer. It doesn't matter what they write or what genre they write. If I enjoy listening to it and if I enjoy their work, I will appreciate it. And I can always say, if I don't like somebody's style, I can still appreciate if they're good at it, you know.
Absolutely.
I will never try and tear down somebody who is very successful. Now, the only thing I'll ever tear down is WAP by Cardi B. I just can't. I've had so many like arguments with people over that song. I think I just can't, you know.
It's just trash in my opinion, you know.
Well, it's pornography spoken. Yeah. Spoken word pornography, you know.
Did you ever hear of a fella called Guilford Godfrey?
Yeah, I know that name.
When you get a chance, Google or YouTube and reading the lyrics from that song.
Oh no.
it's filthy.
God. You know, I remember this story behind that song. I was sitting in the car and I'd heard about the song and everyone was saying, oh yeah, female empowerment, all this kind of crap. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I played it. It was me and my mum in the car and I played it. And she was like, I always take the piss out of my mum so no one get offended. What is this crap? You know, just... She thought it was the most horrendous shit on earth. And I was like, I agree. We couldn't listen past like the first verse. It was so bad, you know? Yeah. That's what I mean. People sit there and they say this is women fighting back because that's how men have talked about women so long. And I'm like, yeah, but why should we sink to that level?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a reason women haven't done it, you know, we just don't need to.
Exactly. I agree, yeah. They used to piss me off. Sorry there. They used to piss me off. You know, the likes of I now have gained a respect for Lady Gaga now.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, early on in her career, like Disco Stick and all this kind of shit. I'm like, I don't want my daughter listening to that kind of stuff.
I get that. I think, like, the era that I listened to was like, yeah, I listened to like Bad Romance, Poker Face, Alejandro, you know, all of that stuff. And I think that was the thing. What I liked about her personally was her ability to do what she wanted. You know, she did do what she wanted in the sense that she kind of paved the way for weirdness. There was nobody really before her that stood out like she did. And yes, she wrote things like Disco Stick and stuff like that. But I mean, I think WAP is a bit more than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think where we go, you just need to stop now, you know, just stop, you know.
Yeah. The horrible thing is, like, what I always felt, kids like that kind of the melodies of that kind of stuff, you know, and it's
like melodies.
Oh, you know what I mean?
I always say the world is going to mush, you know, that's how it feels. The world is slowly going to mush, and it's people like us that are going to try and stop that. And obviously, a lot of people are probably listening and watching this. We're going to put a stop to that, and we're going to keep music alive that is not pornography in a song.
Absolutely. I mean, my favorite album of all time, as I've said many times on this, is Kate Bush's fourth album, The Kick Inside. And she wrote that, I think she was like 17 or 18, and I was just like, wow. How, you know, because I listen to that, I must listen to that album at least once a day.
Kate Bush would be someone else I don't even mention. Like I love like Joni Mitchell. Joni Mitchell and Kate Bush would be kind of the two in that area.
Yeah.
I think that they're big for me. You know, I think it's just, there are, again, artists who can express emotion through what they're doing, you know? I love Eminem, for God's sakes. You know, I love people who express emotion through music, no matter what type it is.
Yeah,
emotion, you know.
Yeah, and I mean they don't have to be, again, vulgar to do it, you know. Really, like that album, that Kate Bush album, like it's sexy in certain ways.
Yeah,
and she's not using profanities or. I sound like an old fogey, but you know what I mean.
You're not an old fogey. You're just somebody who understands music.
Yeah,
that's how absolutely. I look at it, you know. And I will never hate on somebody. If you like WAP, you like WAP. Fine. Whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I don't like it.
And I'm the same, yeah. That's the way we would feel.
No matter how much you try and explain it to me, I'm not going to like it, and I'm sorry. And I think I always say that to people. There's two types of music that wouldn't be my biggest fan. I think it's like black metal, you know, like the
really
black metal, and WAP. You know, everything else is great. You know? Everything's fine.
Everything else in between is actually not too bad, like, you know, when you think about it.
The opposite ends of everything. It's like just everything else, including country, that's fine. But just that, no.
Oh God, yeah. It's although did you notice a couple of years ago, a lot of bands were starting to play their own instruments again and, you know, getting popular.
Well, that's the thing. It's music in general is always taking this weird turn. Now, we haven't gone back into the rock phase, in my opinion. We haven't. But what we have done is we've gone into the retro phase. So if you're looking at the screen, a lot of the pop songs that are out there have a retro sound to them.
Yeah.
And they'll be using like retro keyboards, and they will be playing instruments in the songs, which is fantastic. I'm so much happy that we're at that stage. But like, I want to go back to 90s grunge. I want to go back to the emo phase. I want to go back to like the 80s hair metal, you know. I can't wait for all to go around again. It always goes in a circle, you know.
Yeah.
I always say every era has a rebellious thing.
A streak,
The music goes with it, you know. There's a rebellious music thing, and it's just like it'll come back. It'll come around.
It will. And hopefully you're a big part of it with your new band, you know.
Hopefully we're all a big part of it. That'd be fantastic. Oh,
that's it. That's it. I'm getting too old for this shit.
Oh, it's the beard.
Oh, yeah. That's,
it's just the beard. No, you're actually 15.
People have said that when I shave it off, actually. You look like a child. What's the story?
In fairness, people tell me I look about 15 without makeup, so it's okay. You know, we both have something making us look a little bit less 15.
Forever young, huh?
Forever young.
So, I presume you're really excited to get over and start living your life over there.
Seriously, I'm so excited. I think I'm. Oh God, my Siri is now turning on. Stop. Thank you.
What is it with you? You.
I'm just cursed. There we go. Right. Answer your question. I'm excited to go over to York, and I'm excited to live in England. It's the first time in my life I'm going to be living away from my family. It's the first time in my life I'm going to be living on my own. It's the first time in my life I am not going to have Linda there for me at every step of the way, which is, I must say, like, it's a scary thing. Like, I'm in my 20s, but it's something I've not really experienced. I think I lived away from home for about 4 months with an ex-boyfriend when I was 17. You know, it's me moving country, and I haven't done this. And it's just, there's so many moments of, like excitement that I'm starting a new chapter. I'm seeing a new part of the world, and I'm becoming more independent. But then there's, like, my mom is everything to me, and anyone who knows me, Linda, there's never enough words in the world for me to describe what Linda is to me. And leaving her here is one of the hardest things that I'm ever to do. And I think, not having her there in that moment in the music is going to be very hard. Like, luckily, she's still doing my solo career, which is great.
Okay.
Managing my solo career, so I'll be kind of back and forth from Ireland to England when I get off with Tomorrow's Lost and come over here, and I can work on that. And so I'm really happy she's still doing that, and because I don't think I could actually do music without her, because she's just been such an influence, such a rock, such a, like, in my lowest moment, she's made me keep going. You know, she's the person who inspired me to start writing songs. You know, it's just it's such a strange change, and it's one I'm extremely excited for. It's one she's extremely excited for me for, and Chris is really excited to start a new life and do everything. But it's scary.
Of course it is. You're going to a new country, like you said, but at least you have Chris going with you, and he has you. You know.
Yeah, Chris is, see, this is a funny thing. Just September 2019, both me and Chris and Belinda were going to move to Bristol. And me and Belinda moved over for, I think we were over there a month, and then we had to come back because of family issues. And then we got stuck here because of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
So we actually were meant to move to England in 2019, but then we got stuck here. And then this whole thing with Tomorrow's Lost came around, and it made sense for me because I already wanted to move. Chris already wanted to move, you know, and it all kind of landed into place, you know.
So it made sense. It made perfect sense.
It made complete sense. And I also look at it now, I think it's the first time in my life that I'm actually in a comfortable enough position mentally that I can attempt to move away from my mum to, like, overseas, like, not in the same household as her. Because, like anybody also who knows me, is I've been up and down with mental health throughout my entire life, and it's been something that's been a gift and a curse. Because it's been a gift because it's allowed me to connect so much to my emotions that I can actually write about it and be the musician I am. But it's been one of the most hardest roads I've ever had to take. And again, it's not even over. You know, I'm in a state now where I've had a year to focus on me and what I want and what I like and who I am, how I'm affecting others around me. And I think it's made a huge difference, the year that has been given to me. And that's why I'm in a suitable position where I can actually listen, you know?
That's really cool to hear, because, you know, it's not easy to live with that kind of thing.
No.
You know, as, you know, and it's getting more and more prevalent in people every day. Yeah. So people need to find a way to be able to deal with things, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and to hear that you're doing as well as you're doing, it's fantastic, like, you know?
Well, thank you. I always say, it's like, if anyone else, I always say this, if people are suffering mentally of anything, the best thing you can do is be creative or be productive in some manner. And it's, I'm preaching here to myself. It's just, there are days that I will sit there and I will sit in bed and I will do nothing and I will feel miserable, or I will sleep for 18 hours. You know, I will do all this and it's because I'm low, but I will not beat myself up for it, because people sit there and say, oh, I'm so shit because I'm not doing anything. It's like, no, you're not. You're being human. And
exactly.
There will be a moment that you feel, I kind of want to do something, you know, and it can be something as getting up, making a dinner and coming back to bed, you know. It's productive, creative, and it's something that you are creating and doing. And I think that for me is, like, particularly over this lockdown, this round of lockdown, I've been very creative. Rediscovering, I love designing clothes and painting and all this stuff. And it's because creating and producing something new, it makes you feel better. So I always say to people, either go exercise, just go out for a walk. Don't even think about how fast you're going. Just go out for a walk. Go stand underneath the tree. Trust me, it helps.
It helps. It does help. I just want to give a bit of a shout out to your mom, Belinda, because I think, you know, she doesn't get enough credit, in fairness, from outside, if you know what I mean.
Oh, she never.
She is.
She doesn't look for it.
No, she doesn't. And I think she's a fantastic woman. I think she's a fantastic mother and a fantastic manager, we'll say.
She's a brilliant role model.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's been nothing but good to everyone that I've either forced into her life or has fallen into her life. You know, she's one of these weird humans who she's like the embodiment of a dictionary. She's done absolutely everything. Like, she's lived in Zimbabwe, you know, she's walked through the rainforest, you know, she's done everything. But then she's somebody who you can call a best friend, you can call a mother figure, you can call a sister, you know. You're not sitting there and labeling her as Hazel's mother. You never do that.
Yeah.
She's not that. She's a band member, she's a manager, she's a friend, she's just, and as you've just said, she never gets any credit. She doesn't ask for it. She doesn't want it. The only thing she's ever wanted is to see the people she's looking after succeed. And it was never a case of my mother wants her daughter to succeed. It was never that. It was never that. She just wanted me to be happy. But she wanted Chris to be happy. She wanted Gabe to be happy, you know? And, like, Chris will say every day that Belinda is, like, his mom or best friend, you know? And Gabriel will say that any day. Dara would say that, you know? Anyone really who's come through the band and has really gotten close to the members in her knows that she's been severely underappreciated over the years.
Yeah.
But she never looks for it. You know?
No. And I think, fair play to her. You know, as I say, I just wanted to give her props because I think she's just done fantastically for you and Elevation Falls, and you know, fair play to her, like, you know.
And she's still going. Like, she's had a heart attack, she's had heart failure, she has four stents in her heart.
Wow.
So she's absolutely fought through depression and sad moments, and she's fought for me and for Chris and for when anyone has a low moment, they always go to her, because she has a way of seeing things that no one else can see, is how I'll say. And I'm not just saying that as a daughter, I'm saying this as a partner, I'm saying this as a friend, as a sister, as an employee, you know. She sees things in a way that make it logical for everyone else, but she's still able to be emotional, you know. I've never met anyone like her, is what I would say. I've met many people in my time who have been fantastic in other ways that I would describe just as elaborately, but he is just a particular type of person that I'm so lucky to have, and anyone who has met her is lucky to know her, in my eyes.
Well, no, you're right there. I think I met her once or twice, and you can tell that she's a special personality.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about your mammy.
Enough about my mammy.
Enough about your mammy.
She'll be watching and listening to this and think she'll be like, you know.
Yeah. Kind of dope. So this, we'll move on to the solo stuff. What kind of? I mean, we're going to play one of the songs at the end of the podcast. What one did I say I was going to play?
You're going to play Vision.
Vision. That's what you mean. See how crap I am at this.
Oh no, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry. I've already cursed this now, so it's all
you
fine.
Have.
We're gonna electricity is gonna go out in the entirety of Ireland. That's
God.
You know.
So tell me, solo career.
Yeah. So as I said earlier, a lot of my music taste is kind of everything. I write how I feel. I love doing the rock music. I love getting up on stage and looking like this and, you know, shouting my lungs out and singing songs inspired by like Steel Panther and all. Fantastic, you know, love it. But I think with my solo stuff, it's more writing my problems down almost, you know, if that makes any sense. Like the rock stuff is writing my problems, but like, I think with the solo stuff, it's like, I'm not writing rock, you know, I'm writing what I feel. And it came to a point, I think it was in the middle of last year, I just couldn't stop writing stuff, but it wasn't stuff that was suitable for Elevation Falls or Mars Falls. It was personal stuff, personal experiences and personal stuff that I wanted to show people what I'd gone through. And how it might help them get through whatever they're going through, you know?
Yeah.
The idea behind it all is that I am going to be bringing out an album called I. And I meaning me, not EY. And it's because it's literally just me being me. You know, there's nothing in it other than me being me. And a lot of the stuff on the album is, well, it's all written by me. A good few of the songs I completely produced in Logic Pro on my own, playing everything myself. Other than that, I had my producer, Peter Eads, who played a lot of the drums and the bass on the songs. You know, it's just, I wanted to do something that really showed me.
Yeah.
It's not behind the makeup and the spiky blonde hair and the freaking leopard print, whatever. You know, it's not about that. It's literally about me showing who I am. So, like, Vision song that we're gonna play. It was the first song that I ever did in Logic Pro last year.
Right.
And it was very, very simple. It was literally me sitting there. And it was actually the reason behind it. It was actually written about the guys in the band not being able to understand my mental health problems.
Right.
So when you have a mental health problem, it's you can't expect somebody to sit there and get it instantly, you know? And the guys used to say, they know now, they understand now. Absolutely, they understand all about this now because they've been through it with me. But at the time, it was new to them. And they used to say to me things like, just smile, you know, just get on with your day kind of thing. You know?
Yeah.
Like, we have problems too, but we forget about them. We keep going. You know, it's like, they weren't saying it to be mean. They just didn't get it. You know,
yeah.
Get it. So Vision was written where I feel like I'm doing all these wrong things and it's my fault, and it's because I'm looking through my vision.
Yeah.
Seeing it through my eyes, doing things through my eyes is dangerous, you know? And that's how it felt. It felt like there's a situation in front of me. I'll react a certain way, which in general isn't right.
Yeah.
But in my eyes, it was okay. And I would sit there and I'll question myself, why are they having this reaction? I thought I was just being normal, but it's not. It's a triggered reaction because of my diagnosed mental health issues.
Yeah.
So Vision was a song written from a dark place, a song written from me trying to better understand what the guys were dealing with on their side as well as my own.
Yeah.
So, and it was the first time that I had written a song where I'd really got into detail about what I was dealing with, you know.
Yeah.
But see, there's the other way of looking at it too, that that it's like there's two sides of me. There's a dark side and there's a light side. And reason I'm explaining this is that I actually put together a kind of mock music video for this on my laptop the other night. And it's the story of kind of it's represented by two girls. And one's got dark hair, one's got blonde hair. And in the end, they start dancing together as one. And it's the idea that there's always two sides to me, but they are still the one person, you know.
Deadly.
Everything I've written about on this album or the single releases or whatever it is, they're all about struggling with mental health, struggling with mental health situations, looking back on situations in my past and how they affected me then and how I am now, you know. There's ones where I'm talking to myself. There's one called Why Hide? And it's me telling me, why hide how great you are because you fear making a mistake.
Cool.
You know, there's a lot of it is in depth about my mental health, but it's stuff, the whole point of it is it's stuff that other people are going through and it's stuff that other people can connect to. And it's my main thing has always been, if anyone's ever going through anything, they can talk to me because I probably know quite well how hard it is to sit there in a room and feel like you're on your own.
Yeah.
You know, it's something, mental health has always been something that's very close to my heart because I'm going through it and I've gone through it. And it's something that I've never really properly been able to express other than in a couple of the slower songs and maybe Elevation Falls. So.
Yeah.
But it's the new stuff is something I'm very happy about. I'm really glad Belinda, and I'm working with Belinda as the manager and the PR person. And obviously then my producer, Peter Eads, you know, they're both great people and it's going to be fantastic when it's finally finished.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it now, I have to say. Visions is a great song from what I heard of it, you know. Just sorry I forgot the name of it.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
So look, all the technical issues aside, I think this has been a fantastic little chat.
Yeah, no, I've enjoyed it greatly. Like I have to run off and do a chat with the new band on Zoom.
tell them King Rose Court said hi.
Oh yeah, I will. And I feel like you know yourself, my sleeping pattern has gone to absolute bollocks. So at the moment I can feel my eyes slowly kind of melting. You know, it's just like they're just melting. But once I've done everything today, I go to sleep.
Yeah. Go to sleep, exactly. Look, before you go, I always ask another question at the end.
Yeah.
Your favorite five albums, not in any order, okay?
See, two things. First of all, I hate these questions, but so and the second thing is, I think if I could name just five, I wouldn't be the musician I am, you know. It's just like,
okay, give me five of your favorite Irish bands. How about that?
God, five of my favorite Irish bands.
Well, in any genre, it doesn't matter.
In any, well, like I'd probably throw in a few from modern day and old day. So obviously you've got Thin Lizzy.
Yeah.
The Cranberries.
Okay.
Then out of water, I love Smarrakind.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh,
they're great lads. They have a really cool sound. Another band called Vendetta Love.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, good, they're band. Fantastic. Like Sean's voice is just brilliant, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously you guys, but you know.
Oh, no, that's all. Yeah.
You can't. Like defeat the voice of woe, you know.
Yeah. But funny enough, as I said to you years ago, when I heard your voice, I instantly thought of Ann Wilson, and I always loved.
Thank you.
Oh, I wanted to work with you. I remember I wanted to work with you on a wall song, and that was my fault. I didn't write something good enough.
No,
you know,
thanks. It will. But, happen.
Oh, absolutely.
It will happen. Like, just because I'm in another country doesn't mean nothing can happen, you know?
Oh, we will. We will work together at some point. But as I said, I was out, as soon as I heard your voice, and it was actually Steve Dempsey put me onto you.
Yeah, well, that's how I know you. Like, I swear to God, Steve just, like, makes people know each other instantly. Yeah. You know? Whether it's through talking, through photos, through a bag of chips and swords, you know?
Yeah.
Like me and Steve go back, like, way back. There's photos of me when I was 16 that Steve took while I was in Elevation Falls, and it was down the barrel photography, and it was, I think it was his old logo where it was like a cross at the bottom.
Oh yeah,
remember that with the circle? Either way, he's like, there's so many names through music that I've met. Like, as I said, Steve Dempsey, Oren, there's you guys, you know, there's the people at Fibbers, there's just all the people that work throughout the different bars in Dublin. You know, obviously Gypsy Rose is gone, but I met so many people through Gypsy Rose. And it's not just even in Dublin, you know, I know there's so many amazing people down in Northern Ireland who have supported Paul's MP and are still supporting Tomorrow Is Lost now that we've moved to them, you know. Like, the support has always been something that when you have a good fan, they are a good fan, and they are a good, a good person who sticks you. And you would be one of the people who have stuck by whatever I've done in music, and it's always been appreciated massively.
Look, as I said to you, I've always respected your drive, your passion, and of course your talent. Like, you know what I mean? And it makes me feel proud to think you're going ahead and doing more than what is just here. You know what I mean?
But if musicians don't have anyone, they have each other. You know, that's the way it should be. And music was always built off that. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, I only hope you do as good as you're going to. I know you're going to do as well as you're going to do. Mm-hmm. I hope only good things, obviously, for you and Chris. Yeah. And make sure you pass the good wishes on to Chris.
Oh, don't worry. They'll all be hearing about this. So.
Well, hopefully I can patch it together, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, don't worry. Everybody who's watching, don't worry. You know where I'm here and then I'm here, you know, and then, and then. Like, you're here and then you're there, you know, that's meant to happen.
Yeah, it's meant to be chaotic for this crazy lady, you know. Hazel, it's been awesome, and thank you very much for coming onto the court, and you got to come back on with Tomorrow Is Lost.
With the rest of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll get them on the Zooms.
Okay, listen, guys, we're going to get out of here. This is King Walls Court. Getting out of here and letting this lovely lady go and get some sleep. Please. Thank you, Hazel.
Thanks so much.
See you soon.
You can see one side of me. Cages blind your pretty eyes. My poison only helps me sleep. This creeping lack of certainty, tiptoe behind these heavy walls. If only I could still. My process, pills of motion. With my vision, I'm not safe. Puppet my walk to suit your style. Request a simple way to cry. Forget that human way to speak. From sanity, I only live to find myself, the war within the life I seek. I am broken, I've been sinking, with my vision I'm not safe. Cloud my process, pills of motion. Should I?